Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to All Things Policy. Today, we have Rohan Pai sitting here with us to tell us a little bit about the whole controversy related to Google Gemini that occurred recently. I'm your host, Ashwin Prasad. Let's get started. So, Rohan, before we start this off, why don't you tell our audience what Gemini is, what kind of technology it is, what makes it stand out?
Of course. Thanks for having me, Ashwin. So, Gemini by itself is a chatbot launched by Google, which uses a similar software to ChatGPT. It's generative AI based, and it's formerly known as Bard. However, the one thing it lacked, which ChatGPT possessed, was an image generation feature called DALL-E. So on February 1st, Google's chatbot Gemini launched its newest image generation feature to all users at no additional cost. This was something even DALL-E did not do because GPT-4 is a paid subscription. And Google employed Imagen 2, which is its cutting-edge text-to-image diffusion model, and promised to generate photorealistic, high-definition images of any user input, including human hands. And human hands specifically is something that most text-to-image models have struggled with for some reason, and even DALL-E, even though it is one of the most popular image generation models, struggles to generate accurate human hands. So this is what Google launched, and Google was very made sure that it was consistent with their AI principles, because especially given the fact that recently there have been some scandals where images of Taylor Swift, which were sexually explicit, were shared online without her consent, and Google made sure that they placed technical guardrails and invested in the safety of the training data to limit violent, offensive, or sexually explicit content. And they also applied filters designed to avoid the generation of images of named people, such as Taylor Swift or other celebrities. And more importantly, Google also used a Synth ID, which basically embedded a digitally identifiable watermark into the pixels of generated images. And this was done in such a way that it was embedded directly into the pixels and it was imperceptible to the human eye. So this was a check and balance to ensure that people did not generate images or generate art and claim it as their own. This is what Google promised before it launched Gemini on February 1st.
Okay, wow. Google certainly seemed to have covered a lot of bases. And Gemini sounds really promising. Google seems to be catching up to the whole AI game that it was initially late. So, see, given this, what happened? What was the controversy?
Right. So, they seem to, as you said, they seem to have all of their checks in place. They seem to be really prioritizing safety and responsibility. However, just a few weeks after it released, there was just a barrage of accusations online because the chatbot was found to possess a racial bias and it was found to generate images that were rife with historical inaccuracies. But interestingly, and this is possibly a first for AI and for human society perhaps, but the bias was discriminatory towards light-skinned Caucasian people, not people belonging to darker skin tones at all. For example, a great example of this is when asked to generate an image of the founding fathers of the United States, Gemini actually generated images that contained African-American men, Native American men, East Asian men, sometimes even women as well. So this is what transpired, and this is what really caused a lot of backlash online because people were accusing Google of possessing like a bias against light-skinned people, and more so even when prompted further and asked, okay, please generate a historically accurate image of the founding fathers, the Gemini would respond saying that it could only represent a broader and more inclusive vision of the American Revolutionary era. And this seems maybe just laughable at the moment, but it also reached a boiling point when asked to generate images of Nazi soldiers, it represented multiple ethnic groups wearing the uniform, such as Asian women as well. And when asked to generate an image of the Pope, it generated an image of an Indian woman. So this was very, very quick to antagonize conservatives, right-wing conservatives in the USA specifically, because they believed that Gemini's racial bias was premeditated, not accidental, and it was part of Big Tech's woke agenda. Vivek Ramaswamy, an Indian-American politician, said that the companies programmed their employees with broken incentives, and those employees then programmed the AI with the same biases. Elon Musk, the owner of X, formerly Twitter, criticized the chatbot and claimed that Google overplayed their hand with their AI image generation because it made insane, racist, anti-civilizational programming clear to everyone.
Wow, seems like there's never a dull day when it comes to AI. And that's quite a serious blunder on part of Google. And it's going to definitely take a toll on their reputation that they are so carefully trying to build. What do you think the company can do? How do you think they'll recover from this?
Right. So this does seem like a serious blunder and it does seem near impossible to recover. But I think as people studying this from a neutral perspective, I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that text-to-image generation technology is very, very new and mistakes are bound to happen. In fact, the first time text-to-image generation was tested out successfully was in 2015 by a computer science prodigy from Azerbaijan while he was studying at the University of Toronto. He was merely 19 years old at the time, and he basically flipped the script on image captioning technology, which had just come into being. He took on the audacious task of generating images based on text sequences, the opposite. So what his model did was it iteratively drew patches on a canvas while attending to the relevant words in the description. And Vansimov, that's his name, he generated a total of 2,709 images from 36 text prompts as a part of his project. These are the only images in existence. He stopped right after. And each image was only about 32 pixels length and breadth. So, of course, these, in their quality, they were nowhere near the images we see today with DALL-E and with Gemini. And so they were blurry, they were low resolution, they weren't really perceptible, but they were the pioneers of AI art. And the model even generated images corresponding to captions, which were beyond the training data, in the sense that it could generate images of events and scenarios that did not exist or did not occur in real life. So one of his famous images that he generated was a herd of elephants flying in the blue skies. Of course, I can't really express to you how it looks, so I would urge you to go check it out, but it is very blurry. It's just a bunch of splotches in a blue background, so it doesn't truly look like a herd of elephants flying in the blue skies, but it certainly is a historical moment that cannot be ignored. And this was in 2015. But soon after, in 2016, the application of Generative Adversarial Networks, or GAN, was introduced. And this worked on the principle of training neural networks from a specified data set to compete against each other and create authentic data. And this worked by taking two different networks and pitting them against each other. That's why it's called adversarial. So one network generated new data by taking an input data sample and modifying it as much as possible. And the other network tried to predict whether the output from the first network belonged in the original data set. So in other words, it determined whether it was fake or real. And this kept happening again and again until newer, improved versions of fake data values were generated until the predicting network could no longer distinguish the fake from the original. And through this process, researchers were able to generate very high-quality images, much higher than Mansimov's in 2015. And they generated images of birds, of flowers, and they could change the colors of such birds and such flowers as per their taste. So this is a brief history of text-to-image generation technology. And it was only as recently as 2021, just 3 years ago, that DALL-E was introduced to the public. And this was where never-before-seen images of avocado armchairs began to flood the internet. And it's interesting, avocado armchairs were one of the first images that popularized DALL-E online. And it was very fascinating because this was the first time a model could take two unrelated concepts and put them together in a way that results in something kind of functional. And it's very similar to human creativity, because in the case of avocado armchairs, When you cut an avocado in half, it looks like a high-backed armchair, and the pit of the avocado could look like a cushion. So this was almost taking over or replacing human creativity, which was why many people were worried, but fascinated all the same. But at the end of the day, I think since it is also recent and it is also evolving, it will continue to make mistakes, and we can't jump to judgment immediately because technology is evolving and it is not used to human societal biases as yet, and it will take time to get there.
That was enlightening. It gives us some context to put this entire controversy and think about it. Of course, the entire text-to-image generative AI is new, and it seems that it's constantly evolving, and these mistakes, after all, were inevitable in some way. But what do you think caused Gemini to make these mistakes? Was it random, or was there some logic to it? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that is an interesting question, because it's easy to say that AI is evolving and mistakes will be made, so take away the accountability. However, with Gemini, I don't think the mistakes were completely random, because after the backlash was leveled against the chatbot online, Google paused the use of the image generation feature and they removed it from their platform, and they issued a statement from their senior vice president, Prabhakar Raghavan, in a blog post, where he explained that Gemini was designed to ensure that it doesn't fall into some of the traps they've seen with image generation technology in the past, such as creating violent images, sexually explicit images of real people, because that had dangerous implications to real people. However, they did want the feature to be used by everyone, and they wanted it to be universal and not discriminate against certain sections of society, because that has happened a lot of times in the past. So, for example, if the chatbot was asked to generate an image of a football player or someone walking a dog, Gemini would want images to be generated of people from all walks of life, all races, to be doing those activities and not be biased towards a certain kind of person. However, this was where Gemini faltered, because it was designed to generate a range of people belonging to different ethnicities for every situation. However, there are some situations, such as the Founding Fathers or images of Nazi soldiers, where a range is historically inaccurate. And this is where Gemini went wrong. So Prabhakar Raghavan did acknowledge this and said that there are certain situations where the chatbot should not show a range, and it had not been designed to do that. And over time, the model also was found to refuse to answer certain prompts entirely, like in the case of Founding Fathers, where a user asked the chatbot to generate an image of a historically accurate image of the Founding Fathers, and the chatbot refused to, only saying that it could generate an image which represented all ethnicities from the American Revolutionary era, which was, of course, inaccurate. So this was a wrong interpretation of the prompt, because it demonstrated that such prompts were sensitive, even if they weren't, which caused the right-wing conservatives to get all heated up and issue their backlashes online. So these intentions, of course, they are more than justified, because earlier text-to-image models have a very poor track record when it comes to racial diversity. For example, Stable Diffusion, which is a free-to-use learning model, deep learning model, released just about a year after DALL-E in 2022. And it received its fair share of public outcry, because the images it generated had represented people that conformed to regressive racial stereotypes. For example, Bloomberg analyzed the results of Stable Diffusion against the Fitzpatrick Skin Scale, which is a scale that is 6 points, and dermatologists use it to assess the amount of pigment in someone's skin. So the image generated for every high-paying job, like architects, doctors, lawyers, CEOs, they were all represented by people with lighter skin tones, and it numbered 1 to 3 on the Fitzpatrick skin scale. However, darker skin tones made up the majority of low-paying jobs, like janitors, dishwashers, social workers, people working in restaurants. And this was even worse. It wasn't limited just to racial stereotypes, but also sexual stereotypes, because it generated nearly 3 times as many images of men than women, and it generated women only for 4 kinds of jobs: cashiers, teachers, social workers, and housekeepers. These are very offensive, of course, but it even had some dangerous implications, because sometimes if asked to generate an image of a convict, it would generate mostly African-American people. Or if asked to generate an image of a terrorist, it would show men with long beards and with Middle Eastern features, which was very regressive. And this could have very real-world implications as well, because sometimes police departments with low budgets adopt AI-backed tech. And this leads to thousands of wrongful arrests because of artificial intelligence having a heavy racial bias, as we see in the case of Gemini as well. So I guess in retrospect, it is perhaps prudent of Google to train Gemini on data that represents a range of ethnicities rather than limiting it to just ethnicities that have a higher privilege in reality. And I understand as well, because Google has faced accusations of racism in the past. Even in 2015, when it launched Google Photos for the first time, they launched the service with a new feature that automatically tagged uploaded pictures using its own artificial intelligence software. And just within a month, it made a huge blunder where it organized photos of two black people into an album and titled it Gorillas. So this is definitely not the first time, and Google does err on the side of caution with respect to image generation and political correctness. So this is very understandable, but it certainly is still a mistake that needs to be fixed.
Definitely not the first time, unlikely to be the last. It seems that generative AI has a fundamental issue with being politically correct and pleasing everyone, all its customers. So what do you think the future looks like? How do companies like OpenAI, Google, and Stable Diffusion, how do they go about addressing this?
Right. So the Gemini controversy, at the end of the day, it's not an isolated case, because large language models, or LLMs as we call them, are trained on data sets that are fed to them by human beings. And these data sets cannot always promise to be up to date and with the times, because in the case of Stable Diffusion, for example, certain occupations are associated with certain skin tones, because unfortunately that is what the historical data reveals. Certain occupations are overrepresented by certain skin tones. However, this is not necessarily true anymore, because those discriminated against in the past have risen through the ranks and even occupying the highest positions of power in today's age, such as Barack Obama. But applying this logic to every facet of social life definitely results in a statistical bias. So while researching for this podcast, I found a Vox article by Sigal Samuel, and he explained it really well, because he believes that computer scientists are used to thinking about bias in terms of its statistical meaning. So a program for making predictions is biased if it's consistently wrong in one direction or another. For example, if a text to image model kept generating women as prime ministers of India, its predictions are statistically biased because there's only been one woman prime minister. That's very clear. But it's also different from the way most people in today's age use the word bias, which is related to a prejudice against a certain group. So the problem is, if you design your image generator to make statistically unbiased predictions about the racial and gendered composition of professions, then it'll be biased in the second sense of the word. However, on the flip side, if you design the model to not correlate with race and gender, it will be biased in the statistical sense. So the major question that is looming over the space of generative AI now is whether companies should accurately reflect the existing prejudices in society based on training data that's available, or whether, like in the case of Gemini, it should artificially promote inclusion and diversity as per the prevailing value judgment at the time. And of course, there are no simple answers to this question. It is very divisive, and it will continue to be a source of debate in the near future. However, there is a new legislation that may keep the public at bay, because on March 13th, the landmark EU-European Union Artificial Intelligence Act was passed in the European Parliament with a staggering 523-46 majority. And among other revolutionary regulations, this act requires generative AI companies like OpenAI to submit detailed summaries of the data sets that they use to train their large language models. Because at the moment, models like DALL-E and Gemini, they're not built on open source software, even though, ironically, it's called OpenAI. So this recent legislation in EU could potentially change that. However, of course, it must be noted that this act will not be enforced until 2025 because they want to allow companies to adjust and adjust their policies and prepare for the act to be put into force. So before then, companies, of course, will be urged to follow the rules voluntarily, but there are no penalties if they don't. However, when it is eventually implemented, companies that violate the act's rules could face fines of up to 35 million euros if they don't share detailed summaries of the data sets and a bunch of other regulations that have been put into place. So the future of generative AI does look transparent in the sense that if a racial bias or another dilemma occurs, it will be easier, if not completely easy, for the public and for researchers to analyze why this happened and whether it truly is a bias from the programmer's side or whether it is simply just a mistake with regard to generative AI that will get polished with time. Yeah.
Well, Rohan, that was really interesting. It'll be fascinating to see how this entire story unwinds going forward, especially now that we'll know the data set and how it will directly affect the outcomes in terms of AI. Thank you for telling us about this controversy and detailing the issue out. This has been very enlightening for me, and I hope it's been the same for our listeners. Look forward to talking to you again on ATP. Thanks, Rohan.
Thank you, Ashwin.
If you liked our show, dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs. Check us out at our Twitter handle at takshashilainst or our website takshashila.org.in.